Fizz, how are you today, sir?
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
We wanted to start, what was a strange feeling to see all the quotes and all the comments coming from the Coyotes dressing room after the Tampa Bay loss, a game where they played really well, a couple of empty netters at the end, looks ugly on the scoreboard, but a lot of people thought that was one of the Coyotes' best performances of the year in a loss. How much do you think a team can take away from a loss in the middle of a playoff push in a game like that?
Well, I think just the way they played against far and above the best team in the league is nice to see. And, you know, you got to keep it positive, especially, I mean, to use the term pee-pee-whack, guys, when you're losing hockey games and you're putting your best foot forward. And, you know, you got, I mean, not only because it's late in the season, but if your team's going to bat for you every night, Rick Tocchet knows what a good performance is and what's not. Mm-hmm. And he was over the moon, and, you know, they threw everything at them. They limited them to 24 shots on net. This is a team that just pumps out goals left and right. Actually outshot Tampa Bay. They won more faceoffs, and really I thought they outplayed them. That's just what you're dealing with the Tampa Bay Lightning, though. They're very opportunistic and a very good team.
All right, I'm curious about this because this four-game stretch, and the game against Tampa was the first game. It's a very important road trip. Two of these games are back-to-back. How hard is it for a hockey player to play high-intensity hockey back-to-back? Now, granted, one game's in New Jersey, the other's against the Islanders, so you don't have to travel. But still, the art of playing back-to-back in the NHL, how would you describe that to people who don't know?
It's weird. It depends who you ask, too, because some guys actually like the fact that they're playing in back-to-back games where they feel better in the second. You know, their schedule hasn't been great. You know, they had that tough road trip where they played back-to-back actually in Chicago, then St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Then had to fly home. They put up a great performance in back-to-back games at home. And then right away after Saturday's game, they had to leave. They had to fly all the way to the East Coast, play Monday. Thankfully, they were able to get Tuesday and Wednesday off. And you know, tomorrow is going to be a big one. So I would say, as far as playing back-to-back, it depends who you ask, though.
Yeah, Paul Bissonnette, Coyotes radio analyst, team ambassador, our guest here on Bickley Murata, as he is every week. The wild card standings right now, Coyotes, even with the loss to Tampa Bay, still are in the second spot with 78 points. But you look behind them, Minnesota, 77 points, Colorado, 76 points, Chicago, 74 points. Every game is big, but I was looking at the remaining schedule, Biz. And there is a three-game stretch in late March for the Coyotes, the 26th at home against the Blackhawks, the 29th on the road at Colorado, and then the 31st at home against Minnesota. I mean, that jumped off the page to me as a three-game stretch that could seal their fate. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, well, really every game. I know it's cliche to say, but I said before the road trip, minimum a split. You knew Tampa was going to be difficult. The Islanders have played well most of the season. To me, Florida, who's actually been playing well lately as well, that's a must win. And then to me, the New Jersey game's a must win. As long as they can stay afloat during this tough road trip and tough travel. But yeah, coming home, those games are going to be nuts. We're essentially already in playoffs right now. Mm-hmm. When those games start, that's going to be elimination time, because then all the fate's controlled by the Coyotes against two teams that they're competing against. Minnesota has struggled a little bit lately. I mean, we're all hoping that continues, obviously. Colorado has been staying afloat, and I thought they were going to be out of it, but I mean, they keep doing a good job. So we're looking for all the fan support we can get. It should be a fun little stretch.
All right, Biz, the NHLPA player poll is out, and I didn't know this, but apparently Nick Cousins made an appearance in the trash talk category. We hear a lot about trash talking in basketball. I didn't know it was that prevalent in hockey. Is Nick that good?
Oh, man. The difference between hockey and basketball, though, is you just don't hear about it. Guys keep it under wraps.
Yeah.
Nick Cousins is, let's just put it this way. If I played against him, I probably would have jumped him by this point. there was a situation, I'm not going to say any names, but there was a situation in St. Louis, I believe it was last year, and he said something to an opposing player where that opposing player came down the hallway after the game and wanted to knock his lights out. So that just tells you what Nick Cousins – I love Nick Cousins' game. He's got skill. He's able to jump wing, play center. He's great at possessing the puck. He understands his role. He plays his game with an edge. He is I call him the Swiss Army knife. He brings it all to the table. He can adapt to any role as well, and he is a bargain at $900,000.
Who were some of the, since we're on the subject, who were some of the other great trash talkers during your days in the NHL?
I mean, Avery's obviously known as a trash talker. He was pretty ruthless. I mean, he would go below the belt. Probably a reason why a lot of guys despise him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Apparently, like Brett Hall was amazing.
Oh yeah.
It was always funny to hear the cocky guys who were, you know, would score 50 goals a year when they were just laying to guys. Apparently, Adam Oates was pretty witty. A lot of them, they just say them under their breath and to the other guys around them, and they'd get a chuckle.
On the flip side, who was the worst? Anybody ever say something to you that was just so dumb? You're like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah, but then it's like, but that's funny, and you're just like, man, like, go back to the drawing board. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've heard some bad ones in the minors.
Here's the other thing. Derek Stepan received 4% of the votes in the category of who would make the best NHL GM once they retire. So it speaks to Steps'
really?
Intelligence. Yeah, right? So people,
I bet you Sidney Crosby would be a good general manager when he's done playing.
Yes, he was right above Stepan in the vote. Why did you say that? That's interesting.
Oh, just because he can see it and he'll tell you like where guys should go and. The way he thinks the game is on
really?
A different level. It's like talking like an astrophysicist as far as hockey's concerned.
You're right on the money, yeah. That's good.
I'm a little better as far as the emotional side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would always see guys in certain situations and I would always ask questions and be the one to go over and be like, hey, like, what's going on there? Where some guys just are strictly hockey. Like for instance, I bet you if you ask Sidney Crosby which way a player shot on – like any guy in the league, he would know what they shot, what stick they use, and what color tape is on their blade.
Is that right?
And what's crazy about it is because if he plays with them, he doesn't even look or think where he's putting it right in their wheelhouse every time if he passes it over.
Wow.
So to me, I could – David Slemko named every guy on our team, and I could – he was pretty good at naming most guys in the league. I didn't even know some of my line mates shot. I was like, what? You guys know that?
You're left-handed?
You're left-handed?
Yeah. He's a goalie?
finally on this poll, Christian Fisher came in with the fourth best nickname of Stinky. Do we even want to know why Christian Fisher is nicknamed Stinky?
Oh, no.
No, I don't. I'm going to have to dig that one up for you guys.
Okay. Yeah, when you dig up those Ottawa pancakes, get on top of this, too.
Burrito.
The burrito, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Any other? I know Keith Yandel was named funniest player. I saw that when someone tweeted it to me.
I hadn't seen that one yet. I did look up the game's worst trash talker, Brad Marchand of Boston, 12.5% of the vote. Nick Cousins was also on that list, by the way.
But Marchand was far and above. That's funny. Because it's like, if it didn't bother guys and they were so bad, would they say him? So I actually was talking about Marchand on my podcast recently and how good he is for the game. And a lot of people shot back and were like, you're an idiot, you're a moron. I'm like, he's a polarizing player. Just like cinema, this is entertainment. You need the good guys and you need villains.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Brad Marchand has done some silly things, including licking a guy's face last year, which, yeah, if he licked my face, maybe I wouldn't be saying as many praiseful, so many good things about him. But, buddy, if you turn on the TV and you're a hockey fan and you see Brad Marchand, you're either loving it or you're F you in the TV. And to me, that's exactly what the game needs. There's guys with personality, and regardless how you feel about them, they're polarizing. Who else do you hate? I mean, look at Sean Avery. People still talk about Sean Avery. And then we had him on the podcast, and people were like, oh, get him off. He's a loser. He's our most listened to podcast. We post something on Instagram about him. We get 1,000 comments as opposed to 100.
Yeah.
It's the needle moves, man.
It's a great point. Biz, good stuff today, man. We'll talk to you again next week.